All right, good morning, man. All right. Matt Lauer. Harvey Weinstein. Les Moonves. Bill Cosby. All highly visible men, all very successful men. In the marketplace, you recognize all these guys' names, don't we? They've been in the news lately, and for not very good reasons, guys. There seems to be an unprecedented time in our nation's history of men falling and failing morally, and it becoming incredibly and increasingly visible. We see it in corporate America, we see it in Hollywood, we see it in the entertainment industry, but unfortunately we also see it in the church. The evangelical world was stunned earlier this year when Bill Hybels was accused of sexual inappropriate behavior and was forced to resign from Willow Creek Church. Many of you know Bill Hybels. You know, he's pastor of a mega church up in Chicago and, you know, has 26,000 people who came to his church. He started in his home, and he grew that church to 26,000 people. He's also the host of the Global Leadership Summit. Had 500,000 people attending that thing or watching it around the world. And Bill Hybels fell morally. We're seeing it more and more often, aren't we, men? It's happening. If you need a title for today's talk, it's going to be a real simple one. Here it is. Clean it up. Clean it up. We're in a series called Hearer or Doer. If you've been around a little bit, for you new guys, hearer or doer, you know. We're told in the book of James that we are not just to be hearers of the word and not doers of the word. We're to be hearers of the word and we're to do the word. And we tried to position James as our CMO, as our chief meeting officer, to help us to understand what it means in our day to be followers of Jesus Christ. What does it mean for you? What is your life going to look like? How is that going to play out? And so James has taught us several lessons so far. This morning we're going to look at James chapter 1 and verse 21. If you just turn there in the Bibles, we're going to dig through this thing this morning. We're going to let James help us to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, what it means to be God's kind of a man. In this paragraph, James is going to give us a formula for clean and holy life, for a clean and holy life. Read James 1:21 with me, guys. James 1, verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Therefore, you know, he's pointing back to the passages that came before it when he said, listen, you guys need to be slow to speak. You need to be quick to hear. You need to control your anger. You can't push back from the teaching of the word. You can't get angry over it because there's no growth there. You'll never achieve the right righteousness of Jesus Christ if you push back on it, if you get offended by the word of God. So James has already set up this idea that you've got to be a listener. You've got to be a learner. You have to be prepared to accept the word of God. And so with that in mind, he says, okay, now that you're prepared to receive this, here it is. Guys, you've got to clean it up. You've got to clean up your life. You know, there are these vestiges of, you know, dirt and sin that are left in our life, even after we come to salvation, isn't there? And we try to get rid of that stuff, you know, but there's this process, isn't there, that we walk through that's called the Christian life. Maybe it's called this process of sanctification for you guys that, you know, are more biblical scholars. But we're saved at one point in life, but we continue to be saved, to become more and more like Christ along the way. So James says, that's what I want for you, and here's the formula. If you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, here's what you got to do. You got to clean up your life so that you're in a position to receive the truth that comes from the Word of God. And so he says, there's some filthiness left in your life. There's some wickedness left in your life. Jeff Terry, we got to get rid of it, don't we? You don't have any of that, do you? No. No. Not much. You know, one of the things... Pants are on fire? All of our pants would be on fire if we said we had no sin, right? So, you know, I like to look at the different versions of Scripture to see how they compare. You know, I like to teach out of the NASB, but listen to these different passages. This is fascinating. Here's the NASB we just said. Put aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness. The NIV, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. is what the New Literal says. Get rid of the filth and the evil in your lives. King James, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Naughtiness. King James, I love the King James. They use words that we never use anymore. But here's what Barclay says. Strip yourselves of all filthiness and of the excrescence of vice. Strip it off. It's interesting. It's like, you know, it's like a guy who, you know, maybe he's taking care of the kids, mom's away, you know, the kid pukes all over you, you know. And you got this filthy, dirty, nasty shirt on, you know, and you can't hardly stand the smell of it. You say, I got to get this shirt off of me. I got to throw this shirt in the trash. That's the picture that James is painting for us. I got to get this filth off of me. I got to get rid of it. And James says, when you do that, then you get yourself in a position to realize that you're not clean. You're not clean. You have moral filth that's still in you, and you got to get rid of it. And so when you recognize that you have to get rid of it, then what do? You come before God and you say, God, I know I'm a sinner. You know, I recognize I'm saved by grace, and I thank you so much. This positional salvation is a fantastic gift. But I realize there's still junk in my life, and I got to get rid of that. So we recognize it. We repent of it. We ask God to forgive us, and we ask Him to clean up my life. Clean up my life because I want all that you have for me. I don't want just a little bit of it. I want it all. And James is saying, here's a formula to get that. You clean yourself up by asking God to help you with that. Look back to our passage and see what else he says here. Verse 21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness in humility. You have to be in the right posture to receive truth, don't you? You have to be humble. That word humble there means welcoming. I've got to welcome the word of truth. I've got to welcome what God has for me. I have to be ready to receive it. That's why James said in verse 19 and 20, which we looked at last week, you got to be quick to hear. You got to be slow to speak. You can't push back on the truth. You want it, you got to put yourself in a posture to receive it. You have to be humble. And when you are humble, then this transaction takes place. It's an if-then transaction. If you're willing to clean up your life, if you know you need to clean up your life, then I've got this thing for you. And what does he have for us? It's the word of truth. It's the word of truth. Back to verse 21. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. A mentor of mine once said, the Bible is full of great truths, but these truths can do you no good if you know them, but you don't receive them. Isn't that true? I mean, maybe I can know some things up here. Maybe academically I can know some things. But if I don't ask God to impart that truth into my heart and make it live and real, like His Word, you know, which is active and alive, then I don't receive it. If I'm not willing to receive it, then it's going to have no impact on my life. It's not going to change me. It's not going to transform me. It's just going to be head knowledge. And James says, don't do that. Receive the truth. Receive the truth. And he was excited that these people he was writing this letter to, they were starting to receive the truth, but there was a little pushback from them also, wasn't there? And he said, don't do that. Receive the truth. And how were they receiving the truth from him? He wrote them a letter, didn't he? And in the letter, he was telling them, these are the ways you need to act. This is the way a Christian behaves. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so they're beginning to grow. They're beginning to grow. And James was excited about that kind of growth. You know, Paul was having the same kind of experience with the church that he wrote to Thessalonica. Here's what he said in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this reason, we thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. Paul was looking at the people he was writing to and said, these people, they're receiving the word. They're realizing they're sinners. They're realizing their help. They need help. And the way they're getting the help they need is through the word of God. They're receiving it. And the word of God is performing its work. So it begs a question, doesn't it? What is the work? What is the work that the word of God does? What is it? Protects us. Strengthens us. Challenges us. And James says in chapter 1, verse 21, it saves our souls. It saves our souls. This implanted word, the word that's put in our heart, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that initial time in our life, when the Word is active and the Word, the gospel, attacks our heart, we realize we're sinners and we ask for forgiveness and we're saved, it saved our soul, didn't it? It saved our soul, but there's this progressive activity also going on, isn't there? Where we are continually being saved. Every single day we're becoming or wanting to become more like Christ, aren't we? And we say, Lord, make me more like you. So we're saved positionally and progressively. We're becoming more and more like Christ. We continue to be saved. He saved our souls. He's saving our souls. And so that's what James is saying to us. You got to be ready to receive it. And what is this thing that changes your life? It is the Word. It's the Word of God. James says, guys, there's one thing that's going to change your life. It's the Word of God. However you receive it, whether you listen to it, whether you receive it here at Friday morning, whether you spend time reading your Bible, you're receiving that Word, and that Word is transforming your life. He says, we live in a world that is morally filthy. We look around, we see it everywhere, don't we? And James is saying to us, and I'm saying to you, that's not God's kind of man. He doesn't want that for us. He wants us to recognize our sinfulness. He wants us to recognize our filth and our naughtiness or whatever word you want to use. He wants us to confess that, get rid of it, ask God to forgive us, clean us up so that we can receive the Word that was implanted in our heart. You know, it's like a seed. You know, it's a farming term, isn't it? That Word was implanted in our heart at salvation. It's a seed and it grows. And as it grows, we become more and more like Christ as it takes root. That's what He wants for us. So He says, man, I want you to separate from the sin of this world. I want you to saturate your heart with the Word of God. Putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and all envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. That's what Peter said. That's what James is saying, and that's what Paul said, and that's what I'm saying to you today. So the challenge, look at your life. I'm looking at my life. I have to look at my life first, because here I'm standing before you, right? I'm going to look at my life first. See if there's any filth or evil or naughtiness left in it, and ask God to forgive me of it, because I want to receive everything He has for me. I love the Word of God. I love standing up here and having the opportunity to share with you guys. I love pouring it into you. I love seeing you guys at the table, looking into it and discussing it. That's what Leadership Ministries is all about. Pouring through the Word of God so that we can become the leaders in our marriages and our families and our businesses that God called us to be. So the challenge this morning comes from James. It comes from me. Clean up your life, guys. Be the leader that God created you to be. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the challenge that James brings to us to clean up our lives, to get rid of the junk in there so that we can be the kind of men that you created us to be. Thank you for caring so much about us, Father, that you reveal our sin to us and help us to be receptive of the fact that we still are sinners and we need to be cleaned up. Forgive us, Lord, of our sin. Help us to receive the Word by spending time in the Word. And we pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, gentlemen, have a great morning at your tables.